Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rock and Roar Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock and Roar Podcast. I am your host with the most, Brian Roar. This is episode 39. Today is Monday, February 28th, 2022. It's the last day of February, folks. So this is one of the shortest months of the year. So today is the last day. If any of your bills are becoming due, they're due tomorrow. So just a little FYI for you and me too. So two for one. But yeah, it's Monday, February 28th, 2022. Today is National Chocolate Souffle. I'm telling you, we always talk about food on this pod, and that's okay. It's National Chocolate Souffle. Public speaking, rare disease. Ouch, I'm sorry on that one, folks. And Tooth Fairy Day. Tooth Fairy Day. That's weird. You know, didn't know there was a day dedicated to it. You know, I remember losing teeth, growing up. That was always one of the, best times about growing up was, you know, of course, losing teeth ain't fun, but you know, you get a shiny new quarter if you lose a, tooth. So that was always fun, you know, putting your, if any of you remember doing that, you know, putting your teeth underneath the, or your tooth, underneath the pillow at night, and then you wake up in the, you know, middle of the night or in the morning and, you know, turn your pillow over and, oh, there's a quarter or, you know, a dollar bill or, you know, toothpaste. And you're like, what the hell is this shit? You know, so I remember that. That was just some good times. Yeah, it wasn't fun losing teeth. It never really hurt. My dad was always like, well, if you know, if you can't get that tooth out, all we'll do is just we'll wrap some string around that tooth, put it on a doorknob, and you know, shut the door real quick. You know, it yanks on it and pulls it out. Painful? I don't know. I never went through with it. I bet it wouldn't be. I mean, if you slam the door hard enough, it's gonna, that sucker's gonna go flying. So, but you know, when you're growing up, that's, you lose teeth. I mean, you lose your baby teeth. So. Which ironically enough, I still have one left. So that's kind of, kind of cool. And, you know, just holding on for dear life, I guess. But chocolate souffle, I mean, souffle is what, like, it's like a whipped dessert. Not like pudding, but like a little bit lighter, airier, I guess you would say. Souffle, I mean, it's good. So, chocolate souffle, can't go wrong with that. We just had Valentine's Day a couple weeks ago, so happy late Valentine's Day to all you lovebirds out there. I'm sorry I wasn't on last week. Just had you know, a lot of stuff going on, so I apologize for that. And you know, but I'm here with you guys and girls now, so this is my main focus for the next hour or so. And you know, we'll just see how the show goes. Should be a good one. But, you know, public speaking, it's public speaking day too. And, you know, I guess as you get older, maybe the more you talk about, I mean, not talk about, but talk in front of people, you get comfortable. You remember that old saying, well, just imagine everyone in the audience naked or in their underwear. Yikes. Yeah, that's a rough crowd there, Bob, you know, but, you know, it just all depends. I mean, some people, it comes naturally to them, and you know, some, you know, you get intimidated. I probably would at first, you know. I know you guys are probably like, yeah, but you played in bands and all that, so you're used to playing in front of crowds and everything, which is true. But even playing in bands, that first song, whew, that first song is like a make or break you kind of night, you know. You know, as long as everyone's, you know, flowing the same time and, you know, just synced in together, you know, that's good. And, you know, if the crowd's giving you some feedback, that's a great feeling always. And, but the first song is always that icebreaker, you know, you shake the cobwebs loose and, you know, just kind of get in the zone, as they would say. Have you a beer before the show, or, you know, a shot, or do whatever, you know. I used to walk away and just go by myself for a while. You know, if it was, if they're like, hey, you guys go on in, you know, 20 minutes. Okay. I would walk away and you just kind of do my like vocal exercises and, you know, just kind of just get some alone time just for a quick minute. I mean, you're going to be surrounded by noise all night. So, you know, just that little bit, little pep talk type thing. And, you know, it seemed to help out good. And, you know, you go in there with an open mind and you're like, all right, let's go. Let's tear this shit up, man. And, you know, so that was fun. But public speaking, I mean, even talking in front of kids like in elementary school, you know, when you would have presentation day, you had to go in front of the class. And granted, there's only, what, maybe 15, maybe 20 people in the class. But you know them all and you know you're like, oh, man, they're judging me. And, you know, you just get, I have a problem with getting inside my head and thinking that, you know, situations are more worse than they actually are. Like when it comes to public speaking, you know, I don't know, just kind of get intimidated, I guess, you know, all the eyes are on you. But, you know, if you got something to say, then say it, you know, people are listening. So, and especially now, you know, with everything going on in the world, in my heart, our hearts and prayers go out to everyone there in Ukraine. And, you know, just, you know, stay strong. I'm sorry that this is going on. And, you know, it's some scary shit going on in the world. So definitely now is the time. If you have something to say, you know, speak up, let your voice be heard. All these promises I have made, I will be. Sorry, a little hate breed for you. back in their prime, you know, not saying that they aren't anymore, but the older hate breed, that shit was rocking, still is rocking. You know, he's got what, Kingdom of Sorrow, that's Jamie's other band, Ice Pick, he was in for a long while. You know, even the newer hate breed, I think it's on Nuclear Blast, I think that's what they just got released. I don't know, I haven't followed a lot of their stuff like lately, but every time on Spotify, like I'll be listening, and it's a radio station, and then, you know, that song always comes on. It's like it's talking about trigger, like I wanna put a bullet, you know, something about bullet and trigger, and I'm like, man, that sounds like Jamie Johnston. It sure was. So that's where I was going with that. I'm sorry. But it's also Rare Disease Day, and, you know, hearts go out to everyone out there fighting a fight that they don't know what they're up against, you know. They don't know, like, it can be a blood disease, it could be a internal disease, could be a external disease, you know, could be, you know, people are fighting fights every day, so, you know, just be kind to one another is all I'm trying to say there. And, you know, anyone out there that's going through a rough time and you need someone to talk to and you don't know who to go to, it may come to me. I mean, hit me up anytime. I'm an open book. Nah, I guess I can be if I know you real well, but, you know, I got an open heart. So if you guys or girls ever find yourselves in tough times out there, just don't be afraid to reach out. You know, you can talk to me. I'm fine. You know, whatever we say will be, you know, private and all that. And, you know, we're here for one another. So that's my little kumbaya. Ha ha ha. I love you all. Thank you. All right. So we're going to do a little on this date. So as you can hear in the background, we got Mr. Paul Simon from one half of Simon and Garfunkel. There's Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. You know, they both had great, great harmonies and, you know, great musicians and everything. But we're going to do a little Paul Simon today. So, speaking of Paulie, on this date in 1976. In 1976, Paul Simon's Still Crazy After All These Years. It won the Best Pop Vocal and the Album of the Year at the Grammys. So, congratulations back in 1976 to Paul and, you know, the production crew and everyone on that album. What's kind of funny is in his acceptance speech, Simon said, and thank you, Stevie Wonder, for not releasing an album this year. So you could tell who the competition was at that time. Mr. Stevie Wonder. You know, he's very superstitious like that. You know, like how it did that. You know, that's a tough tough person to beat there, Mr. Stevie Wonder. You know, it's just like watching the awards now, like best pop vocal female. I mean, you're talking powerhouses. You know, Adele's going to be in there. You know, Kelly Clarkson. You know, it's just going up against these people. But I mean, you're there to, you know, just support one another. It's the music industry, so everyone's for everyone and everything. And, you know, it just, that would be, you know, kind of intimidating. You know, you talk about giving an acceptance speech in front of 20 kindergarteners or fifth graders. You imagine giving it to, you know, 50 million people watching you. Like, I'd be like Halle Berry freaking the fuck out, you know. She's like, oh my God, I'm having an out-of-body experience. That would be to win an award like that. You know, I made a couple mistakes in my day because my name sounded like, gosh, I'll never forget this. I'll tell you this quick story and then we'll go back to the show. I'm sorry. But so in elementary school, we used to have little like auditorium dances and like shows and everything. Well, anyway, one year we had T100 there. It was a radio station in Newark. They were mostly country, and they were there, and they were, you know, they had the radio on and everything, and you know, they were reporting live and all that. Well, anyway, towards the end of the show, it was like a chili cook-off show type thing, where they had a chili cook-off there. Towards the end of the show, they were, you know, raffling off prizes for everyone and everything, and you know, they were giving out prizes to kids and that went to the school there, and so they're handing out t-shirts, you know, passing them out, and I swear to God, I thought they said Brian Roar. I thought they said, and Brian Roar, please come get your t-shirt. And I'm like, holy shit, I won. You know, I get up and I'm walking up there, and then there's another kid walking up there too, and I'm thinking, man, they called my name. You know, who the hell are you? I'm the only Brian Roar here. Well, here they called up Ryan Moore. you talk about feeling like an idiot in front of the whole school, but you know, that's just my hearing. You can ask my wife the same thing. I love you, baby, you know, and my hearing's just bad. It's probably all that damn rock and roll music, but hey, it's awesome. but you know, just competition and everything. So, you know, talking in front of crowds and everything, but you know, back to Mr. Paul Simon. So, you know, great album, great song, great artist. I mean, he's still recording music, I think, now to this day. He's a lot older now, so he's almost, what, mid-70s now, I would guess. But, you know, Chevy Chase was always in his videos. What's that one? You Can Call Me Al. You know, he was always in that, he was in the video. And, you know, he just seemed like he had a good relationship with Paul and, you know, the whole crew and everything. So that's pretty awesome, you know. I know he was just on what the hell was Paul on? He was on something lately. I think an interview or something that he was talking about, Simon and Garfunkel and all that. So good music. Check them out too. If you like, folky, like folk, good harmonies, you know, good writing and everything. You know, the main song, you know, Mrs. Robinson. So here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you would know. That one. And then, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. I've come to you again. I'll leave that up to the professionals. But you know, on this date, a little Paul Simon action for you. So, with that being said, folks, we're going to keep the show rolling. If any of you ever want to get a hold of me for anything, you know, if you just want to talk music or just talk, just to talk, or, you know, go on there and make fun of me, I don't care. You can do so on my socials. I'm on all of them. I'm all over the place, baby. Mostly on like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm on here and there, but, you know, you can definitely add me on there as well. If you're over on Twitter, I am at BRoar3. If you're over on the Instagram, I am at BRoar, all lowercase. If you're over on the TikTok seeing what's going on, you can check out my spot. And I am at capital B, R, and then all the rest is lowercase. So R-I-A-N-R-O-H-R, 1986. And if you feel like wanting to donate to this podcast, spreading the word to the masses, I got three different levels for you to choose from. And you can do so on my Patreon. So that it will be at www.patreon.com/R. And then all lowercase O-C-K-N-R-O-H-R 22. There's three different tiers to it. And, you know, every tier has, you know, good benefits to it. And, you know, you still get access to this podcast. So definitely hit me up on that. And, you know, if you want to and all that. So, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button to wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm all over the place. So if you're on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Google, Pandora, Good Pods, Podchaser, Reason. I'm all over the place. So just look up Rock and Roar in the podcast, and you know, I should pop up on there. If not, please let me know and I will add it to the list. Whew. All right. So on today's show, I'm just going to cover, you know, a little bit of everything. So today's show, we're covering the MLB. Yeah. We'll see what's going on there. New music from Mr. Steve Vai, virtuoso Steve Vai. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about some effect pedals. Some are good, some are funky. So we'll check them out. And, you know, the sound, the music services that pick up music. So that's probably very confusing, but I'm talking about Shazam and SoundHound. So it's music apps that pick up songs. If you're unaware who sings it, or you want to know who sings it, or you have the melody in your head, we'll talk about that with those apps. And do you want to dance? You know, just let me know. Hit me up on social. So, but on today's, we'll go back to the topics. Still no resolution for the 2022 MLB season. My God, Manfred. Owners, quit being so damn, you know, stingy with your money. You guys make gazillions of dollars. Each team makes gazillions of, I know that's exaggerated, but we'll say billions of money. Billions of money. Billions of dollars, you know. And I know they have had talks. Today is technically the last day for them to actually start. They would have to get a... So what's going on in the MLB right now is the owners and the Players Association cannot come to an agreement. So as of today, February 28th, they have until midnight. So it's 6:08 right now when we're recording this. So they have less than 6 hours to come to an agreement. And there were already reports out today that the season will be canceled for 1 month while negotiations is going on. Come on, man. You're ruining baseball. You're making it more about money and everything. And it's not even about the sport. It's just about greedy ass owners and, you know, not wanting to pay their players. Who are the people that make you money? The players. Who comes to see the players? Fans. There you go. You're ruining everything, man. It's all about the mighty dollar. And, you know, that's a shame that it comes down to that. And, you know, people's lives are at, you know, at the helm of it. You know, because you imagine going 1 month without a paycheck. Granted, I know it's a lot different from MLB players because they make, you know, millions of dollars a year. Some only make hundreds of thousands, you know, still doing really damn good. But the people that are really getting affected the most are us, the fans. You know, we want to go see our favorite players. We want to see the game that we love. We want to see, you know, we just want to go out and do something new. You know, when it's nice out and it's a nice sunny night, ain't nothing better than a good ball game. I know it's probably boring to some people and everything, and that's fine. You know, it's not for everyone, but And I don't know. It's just a very, it's America's favorite pastime. So remember that when you guys are crunching numbers of how many gazillions you'll make this year. I know the Indians or Guardians, whatever the hell you want to call them now, their payroll last year was one of the lowest in the MLB. That's because our market's not that big. So, yeah, you look at teams like the Yankees, you look at teams like, you know, the Houston Astros, the Dodgers, you know, Philadelphia, who else? Yeah, Yankees, the Mets, who else? Who else is a big, big, like, money team? That's all I can think of right now, but, I mean, you look at those markets, you know, majority of a lot more people live there than, let's say Kansas City. You know, I don't know, that's a bad thing, but anyway, you know, it's just look at the people that you're hurting the most, and, you know, the people that make you your money, the fans and everything. Yeah, the players make you money too, because without players, you know, the fans wouldn't have no one to go watch and everything. But hell, give me a bat, I'll try to swing at a, you know, 90 mile an hour slider, or, you know, my 90 mile an hour changeup. You know, I try my best. I've been playing MLB 21 the show, so I can hit a good foul ball, you know. And that shit is hard, man. You talk about the precision that baseball players. So think about this. I'll give you all a little visual going on here. So from home plate to first base, it is, 90 feet. It's 90 feet there. From first to second base, it's 90 feet. Second to third base is 90 feet. And then third base to home plate is 90 feet, of course. So you're looking at, and then from home plate to the pitching mound is what, like 52 or 54 feet? And, that's a hell of a big circle there, you know. But, I mean, anyway, what I was trying to get at saying was, when you're at home plate and you're up there at bat, let's say you're hitting, all right. So by the time that the pitcher throws the ball from the pitching mound to home plate, you have 5 seconds to figure out what the hell you're going to do. In 3 of those seconds, it takes your eyes to even pick up what you're looking at. So at that point, you have less than 2 seconds to know either, yeah, I'm going to swing at this, or B, I'm going to let that go by. You know, so, I mean, and then it's going 90 plus mile an hour at you. So you got to think quick. You know, so my hat's off to them. And, you know, playing the game, it gives you a good insight on it. They got MLB The Show 22 coming out April, I think, 5th or 8th, one of those two. Mr. Shohei Ohtani is on the front cover. So guy lit up the stage last year, and hopefully he can do so this year. What a great talent. What a great talent, you know. And because he pitches, he hits, he does it all. He plays the outfield, you know. He's just a nice guy, and, you know, he's doing what he loves. So more power to you, Shohei. Congratulations, brother. And look forward to playing it. They had the tech test out, past week and a half. And, you know, you can download it for free. You just kind of give them insight of, you know, what they would need to fix, or, you know, certain things they need to adjust, whether it be color or sound or, you know, anything like that. So that's pretty cool. But I don't know, I would rather wait till the masterpiece is out, because you play the tech test and you're like, oh man, this is going to be so fucking awesome. And then you go back and you're like, oh man, I got to play last year's game still. So it'll be out sooner than we know it. But, you know, just exciting, you know, especially if we ain't even got a MLB season. So, you know, they're doing it right with the game. So hopefully they can come to an agreement and we can continue the America's Greatest Pastime game and, you know, have some good food. Some Dime a Dog Nights. Now we're talking. Hey, I don't care if they are Sugardale. I'll eat the shit out of them things. So next on the list, we are going to talk about Mr. Steve Vai. Mr. Stephen Vai. None of you know who he is. He is, where do I begin? He is a guitar player, duh. But he is an instrumental guitar player. He played in Whitesnake. He filled in after John Sykes, the album after that. And then I forget the name of the album, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. But, you know, Steve Vai has had a very, very, very successful solo career. He was trained by nonetheless than Joe Satriani, the Satch. So they, you know, right away, okay, yeah, he's trained by the Satch. Oh, yeah, he's going to rip it up. And he does. One of his one of his most popular songs is called For the Love of God. Came out in, I think, early 90s. So he also played with David Lee Roth on David Lee's solo records, Eat 'Em and Smile. Great album. I mean, I was listening to an interview of his earlier, and the guy that interviewed him, Eddie Trunk, if you guys don't know who Eddie Trunk is, he is like a musical master genius when it comes to like trivia knowledge and everything. But he mostly like caters to the classic rock, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're legendary. But he had asked Steve if they would ever do a reunion show with David and the band and everything, and he's like, no. Not that he doesn't want to, just because he doesn't know what David's going on with right now. Like, because he just retired, and, you know, he's got Van Halen over his head, and, you know, rest in peace, Eddie, and, you know, just a lot of different moving pieces going on. But I actually watched a video last week. It was Zach Wilde, and Steve Vai came out and played with them towards the end, and they had like a guitar battle back and forth. It was fucking awesome. And, you know, he just came off of, they did what, not a tour, but like a convention type thing. It was Yngwie, Nuno, and who else? It was Zach Wilde, Steve Vai, and I think I'm forgetting someone else. I'm sorry. But they have done like Bohemian Rhapsody. They did that song together. There is a video footage with Scott Ian where they did do the Game of Thrones theme song, which is pretty cool. Scott Ian from Anthrax. Meatloaf, God rest his soul, is his, was his father-in-law. So a lot of history going on there in the Anthrax world. But Steve Vai, we was talking about him. He's got a new album coming out. It's called Involatile. There's a song on there. I was listening to the interview and I thought this was really cool, but there's a song on there called Knapsack. Knapsack. And when Steve was talking about it, because Eddie had asked him, you know, well, you were in a, he's like, why don't you tell the people what happened in the accident that you were in? And there really wasn't an accident he was in. He had torn a tendon or a muscle in his right shoulder. So where it, I guess his strap would lay, they asked him that. But, you know, it was just over time. You know, he's been playing guitar for, 50 years. So just over time, that muscle just got sore. And, you know, he had to get it repaired and everything. And the doctor that did it, Dr. Knapp, N-A-P-P, kind of put his arm in like a sling type thing and all that. And, you know, Steve was like, yeah, he's like, it took me about 2 weeks to be able to play again. He's like, but once I did, he's like, that first song I wrote, I called it Knapsack after, you know, the doctor that did his surgery. So that's pretty cool. Haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I definitely going to listen to it either tonight or tomorrow. So I'll let you all know how it is. If you have listened to it, please let me know if you like it. Steve Vai, I mean, you talk about a virtuoso. The guy was trained by Joe Satriani, okay? And so Joe Satriani, the guy that trained him, actually would just randomly spurt out notes for Joe to hit. He'd be like, play me an F sharp. Play me a G minor. Play me, you know, a B flat and all this. And if Joe accidentally hit the wrong note, he'd be like, come back to me when you know the notes. So that's all it would take, was just one bad note and his teacher would walk out on him. So, you know, for him to train you, yeah, you're in good hands. And, you know, Steve Vai, like I said, he's had very, very successful musical career, acting career. I always get him and Rick Springfield mixed up because they kind of look alike. I know they don't sound alike, but they just kind of look alike. And I almost said, yeah, he was in General Hospital, but that was Rick Springfield. And it probably wasn't, I don't think it was, yeah, it was General Hospital. Sorry, I'm having a moment with myself. But anyway, so Steve Vai, yeah, if you're into instrumental albums, we've talked about them here on the show many of times. You know, they're a different feel, and all depends on what you're going for, but give them a chance if you haven't ever really listened to Steve Vai or, you know, instrumental music. You can always look up, like, lo-fi beats. That's instrumental music. You can look up, you know, we've talked about Animals as Leaders. They're instrumental. Look up Joe Satriani, Surfing with an Alien. I mean, look up that. Just listen to that whole album, okay? Blow your mind. And Steve Vai, my God, it'll blow your mind too. And one thing that really blows my mind is pedals. So I play guitar, duh. And, you know, I got the effect pedals and everything. And I'm in a pickle right now, folks. I am in a dilemma. Long story short, Line 6 comes. They came out. This is about a, you know, it's been out for a couple years now. But they have a, it's called a processor and pedal. So what it is you can have multiple effects, multiple sounds. In this pedal, and that it's called the Pod Go, and then they have the Helix, which the Helix is like the older brother of the Pod Go, but they're both Line 6, so they're both, you know, they both have the same effects on them. Just the Helix is a little bit more faster. It's got faster processor in it, so you can do more things on the fly with it. But the dilemma I'm in right now, folks, is, do I sell a couple of my standalone pedals, like my phaser pedal? Do I sell that to get, do I sell that to get this Line 6 Pod Go? That's the dilemma I'm in, because I'm telling you, I've been watching videos on it. I've heard it, and, you know, I'm very, very intrigued by it. I was telling a guy at work, you know, I just got this fire. I've just had this fire under my ass lately, you know, about, like, when it comes to music, like, either listening to it or writing, or, I don't know, I'm just building up a stronger love for it now as I'm getting older. And maybe it was from being hurt, you know, my fingers when I cut them at work. It could have been from that, you know, not being able to play and just getting so much, like, oh, man, I just want to go out there and, you know, paint the town red type thing. And but that's the dilemma I'm in, is do I take the next step and sell my pedals to get this one pedal that has every pedal under the moon on it? Not a bad idea. What really is drawing me into these pedals is, it's called IR. No, not artificial. No, that's AI. No, IR is impulse response. So it's a cab amp simulator. So what that means is, in this little pedal, they have taken a Marshall 1968 cabinet. Okay, 412. It's got, what, let's just say, Celestian greenbacks in it. All right. So it's got them loaded in there. And when you're playing your guitar, like through this amp pedal thing, you can adjust the microphone settings. Like you can use a 57, you can use a 421, you can use a Hoyer, you can use a Neumann, you can use a ribbon mic, you can use, you know, all these different mics in it, and it just gives you different sounds. Just more, it's very more like fine-tuned, it's a very fine-tuned pedal, and you know, you can customize your own effects and everything. So that's the dilemma I'm in. It's like, do I sell these ones that I have been holding on for years to get one pedal that has everything under it? And it's not a bad idea. You know, because I know I'm going on a little bit about my personal self, and, you know, that's not about the show. But when it comes to my sound, the one thing that I'm lacking is, like, overdrive distortion. So that's the dilemma I'm in. I do have them up for sale on Craigslist, and I do have them for sale on the Facebook Marketplace. So if anyone's interested in buying them, I have them all listed on there, so just check them out if you want. And, you know, I'm using all the money to go get either the Podgo or the Helix. You know, it just all depends. But, you know, Line 6 pedals, I mean, Line 6 has been around for, what, probably 15, 20 years at least. And, you know, they just recently, I guess, discontinued their DL4. Which, if any of you play guitar and you're familiar with the DL, it's that big green four switch. It's a delay pedal. It's pretty much a pedal within a pedal. You can make it work for you, or you can work for it. You know, it's just very. I mean, there's an artist named Dave Knudsen, plays for Minus the Bear. He's got, I think, 3 or 4 of these puppies synced up together, and he just uses them like with one another, and it's just very awesome how he gets it to sound the way it is. And you know, he's a virtuoso when it comes to the you know, to the DL4s, but he's also a hell of a guitar player. Check him out, Minus the Bear. But you know, Line 6, I've never had a problem with them. I've owned a few Line 6 pedals. I got Line 6 software on the computer, so definitely used to that. And, you know, it's just good effects. One effect that I would like to get my hands on, I guess, or thought that was kind of cool, is Blake Weiland from Tone Mob. Him and a group of his friends pretty much built a pizza fuzz pedal. And it's in the shape of a pizza, piece of pizza. He loves pizza. So I thought it was pretty cool. I'm not really keen on fuzz pedals. I mean, I like them if you use them right. But, you know, they're okay. It's just all depends on how you use them. That's the main thing. David Gilmour, you know, made him a household name by playing lead with them. So, you know, a lot of people play lead with them. I actually listened to a band last week that had fuzz as their main distortion, and it was like I guess you would call them like a Red Fangish type band. Just fun band. I'll have to get remember the name for you and put it on Twitter or something for you guys to look them up. But yeah, the good old fuzz pedal, can't go wrong with it. Like I said, just don't overuse it. That's the thing. Just like with any other pedal, you know, just don't beat it down into the ground. But, you know, next on the list we got, does anyone use Shazam or SoundHound? So if none of you know what Shazam or SoundHound is, it is an app you can get for your phone. And like I kind of said earlier, if you're listening to a song, like you're out and about, you're at the store, and you're like, oh man, I really like this song, who sings it? Well, you can open up one of those two apps and hit the button, and as long as you're close to it, it'll pick up the song that's playing and give you a full description. So the artist, the name of the song, the album, what year it was built. I mean, it goes details. Some of them even have the lyrics with it. Excuse me one second. Take some water. But anyway, they both work the same. Shazam and SoundCloud. I use Shazam. I mean, there's times where I'm out in public and, you know, I'm like, man, I really like this song. Who sings this? You know, the other day I used it at the grocery store, and I'm like, man, because I've always wondered who sang this one song. And let's see if I can look it up real quick for you. It was, pardon me, 1 second, folks. I'm sorry. See if I can look up the history or something. It was Say Hey, I Love You. It was Michael Franti and Spearhead. That, hey, are you gonna be? The more I see, the less I know is I love you, I love you, I love you. I don't know, it's just a feel-good song, you know, and I always liked the way that the person sang it, and now I know who it is, and that's what Shazam is, so. And, you know, even if you're not by, like, a speaker or anything, but you know a melody to the song, you can hum it in there, and it'll, you know, pick up what it's closest to. So that's pretty cool. They're great. They're free. And, you know, if any of you use them, please let me know what you use them for. You know, do you use them for finding new music? Do you use it for, I don't know, whatever you use it for. Hey. I use it, like I said, so no big deal there. but big question I have. Excuse me. Gosh, it's rock me like a rock. Me like a rock. Okay. Sorry about that. Last topic we'll talk about today is, do you like to dance? So we talk about a lot of music on this show. We talk a little bit of everything, but dancing, that's the heart and soul of music right there. You know, yeah, performing is, and, you know, being in the crowd is, but dancers, I mean, that is a different breed right there. They have great stamina. They got great bodies, of course. You know, you have to when you're doing, you know, 2-3 hours of straight dancing, you know, whether it be for Janet Jackson or whether it be for, you know, Backstreet Boys or whether it be for JoJo Siwa, you know, all over the place. So dancers, they put their bodies on the line. And, you know, my wife danced for the longest time. She learned Paula Abdul dance moves, and she learned Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation. And now her ankles are, you know, hurting her. And it's just, it puts a toll on you. You know, the milk crates really put a toll on you, and, you know, but in that, and, you know, heel problems, feet problems, leg problems. I'm like, gosh, but, you know, I like to dance. I don't know a lot of like square dancing. I'd like to learn how to, like, line dancing. That'd be fun as hell. You know, like the Macarena, I know the electric slide, you know, that type of goofy stuff. But, you know, to actually learn like dirty dancing or anything like that, that'd be a dream. You know, I can make it happen, you know. But do any of you like to dance? Like, what type of music do you like to dance to? You know, back in the music days, you know, playing in reference, they would do hardcore dancing, which you're like fighting air, you're like punching air, kicking air. But at our shows, it was, you know, it got pretty wild at times. People picking up chairs, I mean, slamming you into the walls and shit. And I mean, that was hardcore, and that's what we lived, you know, but not all of them were like that. You know, yeah, you have your mosh pits and your circle pits, and that's dancing too. And, you know, the moshing, man, I couldn't even imagine doing that now. That hurt so damn bad. Excuse me. But, you know, if you do like to dance, please let me know what type of dance that you do. And, you know, if you're a dance instructor and, you know, you want a guinea pig for your class, hit me up. You know, I like to learn some new dance moves and, you know, impress the misses and, you know, see if I can, you know, start a new wave of dance movement going on. Wouldn't that be something? Seeing my fat ass on TV dancing around, that'd be funny as hell. Or be scary. So those were the topics we're going to talk about today. as always, we're going to keep the show going. We got our top five going on right now. So I like to do, you know, just a quick rundown of these. They're not in any particular orders, just kind of off the top of my head. And then we'll go back and talk about them. But being that we kind of took a little bit more time today on effect pedals and talked about them a little bit more, I'm going to talk about my top five favorite effects to use. So, like I said, we'll just run through them and then come back and we'll talk about them a little bit more. So, one effect is delay. The next is reverb, however you say it. Now, the next effect, it's not really, I guess you could say it's an effect, but it's more of like a not change your sound, but it's a compressor. Next is modulation, and then lastly is overdrive, distortion, overdrive, that type of thing. So, delay. I love delay, man. Don't matter if it's 100 milliseconds or 800 milliseconds, or, you know, it don't matter how, if it's like whether it be a short delay or a long delay, it don't matter. Like if you're going for Pink Floyd-ish and you want the long delays, I love them. If you're going at slapback, if you're going for like a little slapback, like a burr, 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 mostly it's used in like rockabilly, jazz a little bit, but mostly rockabilly. It's just got a quick little snap to it, little burr, burr. You know, just a quick little delay. It sounds awesome. It's fun to play with. But I love delay, man. Don't matter. Like I said, long, short, don't matter. You can even hold down the pedal and, you know, make up your own, sequence in it. But I don't know, just something beautiful about it. And, you know, especially at long, like leads and stuff, like do a little trail, little tail end, you know, type thing. Just kind of let it drag on. But, you know, I guess you could combine delay and reverb in the same conversation. Reverb's more like it's echoey. It's more of like a full sound, whereas delay is more just like a repetitive sound. Like reverb is, they got spring hall, and I think something else, but hall is, spring is what mostly everyone uses. Hall, you can use hall reverb, which that is more like balanced, I guess. It's more bigger. It would be like yelling into a cave would be like your hall reverb, and spring reverb would be like talking into, you know, them little microphones they have at like the store that has like a little echo in it, those type of things. But I guess you could combine both them and get the same. But I mean, they're two different effects. I love using them both, man. I love reverb. I've got a Fender Hot Rod DeVille that's got built-in reverb to it. Nothing better than built-in spring reverb on a Fender amp, folks. When it comes to clean, I mean, whew. Oh, don't even get me started on that. But, you know, it's just a good sound. But, you know, what makes it a good sound is compression. I love having a compressor on my board, whether it's, you know, a pedal form or rack mount or in the line six. You know, as long as you got to have a compressor, because it takes your sound and makes it more easy to listen to. It's not so wide. It's not so narrow. It's just, it's equal, you know, not like an EQ, but a compressor like compresses it to one sound, one signal to, you know, just sound big and sound more fuller, more clear and everything. A lot of like country artists back in the 90s and still to this day, use compressor and, or use compression when it comes to their sound. A lot of artists use it. David Gilmour, I always talk about him all the time, but it's because he's one of my idols when it comes to guitar. And, you know, he's got the compressor, and I was like, well, David's got it. I got to get it, you know, and I'm just so happy that I did get it because you learn more about it, how to use it and everything. And like I said, it's not a important effect, but it is good for your overall tone. Next on the list, I got modulation. So that's another combo platter. That is like phaser, flange, chorus, those type of things. Out of all three of them, I would probably use chorus the most. Not a lot of people like chorus. It's more of like a, you think of 80s metal ballads. So fuck yeah, that shit was rocking then. And you know, I just love chorus. It's got a great effect to it. It's a good modulation sound. You can make it duplicate itself, like double itself. But nothing against phaser or flange too. I love them. I mean, Eddie Van Halen used the phaser, the MXR, the Phase 90, like all the fucking time. So that's what made it popular. Of course, David Gilmour used the Electric Mistress, Electro Harmonics, great pedal. I mean, I would love to have a color sound. One of these days, I'll get me a color sound overdrive pedal. And that's what the last effect we're going to talk about is overdrive / distortion. Now, I primarily play blues. Like, blues are the bread and butter when it comes to my playing, my sound, and everything. But I also love me some good gain, you know, so you gotta have that. That's what I'm missing when it comes to my amp right now, is I ain't got a good overdrive or distortion. You know, I like my distortion, I like that shit to chug, like, you know, I want you to be able to feel it, but I also don't want you to be like, you know, what note is he playing? I want it to be crisp and clear. And with overdrive is more for like your leads, like if you're doing a lead or a solo, you know, you pop on your overdrive to give you a little bit of a boost. You can add a treble booster if you want it to it too, but overdrive is like, just gives you a little boost, but a little bit more like tone control over it, where the distortion just gives you gain. I mean, distortion's gain out the ass, so, which there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, if that's where you're looking for, get you a metal zone. And, you know, they've been out for, what, almost 30 years now? So they've made over 1 million metal zone pedals. How awesome is that? Just goes to show you that, you know, people love that shit. They love the chips in there. They love the way that the Boss metal zone was made. So, hell yeah. Great company as well. And, yeah, those were my top five favorite effects. I know I kind of jumbled some of them together, but again, they were delay, reverb, compression, modulation, and overdrive / distortion. Now, I mean, there's more effects out there than that, folks. So, I mean, that's just a tip of the iceberg. I mean, they got... Where do you want to go? You know, you can even create your own. So that's a cool thing too. All right. So with that being said, we're going to end the show with a little, did you know? I like to end these shows with a little, did you know? I just said that, a little nugget of information for y'all to carry on with your day, or, you know, impress your friends and family with something you learned. And, you know, you learn something new every day. So that's why I like doing these. So, did you know that nutmeg, which is a spice, you primarily use it in like Thanksgiving times, like stuffing, nutmeg, I think you use it in like pies and stuff, like apple pie and all that. Anyway, did you know that nutmeg is extremely poisonous if injected using an IV? Now, I don't know a lot of people that have an IV readily available at their house, or why the hell you would want to inject nutmeg in it, but they gave you that for a reason, because someone actually did that. So please, if you have some nutmeg and you're cooking around, you know, Thanksgiving time, please don't inject it. You know, just save your family the pain, and, you know, just leave it in the pie. Leave it in the pie, leave it in the stuffing. Just, you know, don't put the shit in your veins. Don't put nothing in your veins, to be honest with you. No, there's people that are fighting that demon, so, you know, you're stronger than that. So, hey, you can do this. Like I said, anytime anyone needs to talk, hit me up, folks. I'm always there for you, just like you're always there for me. And with that being said, I'm going to end the show with a little bit of that. A little bit of cough. No, we're going to end the show with a little bit of water. Hold on a sec. All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. And yeah, with that being said, we're going to leave you with the sweet sounds of Paul Simon still. What's he got? He's got Father and Daughter going on right now. And just want to give a big shout out to everyone that, you know, listened to today's episode. Please let me know what you think, what you're missing, what you want me to do, or any suggestions or anything like that. Want to give a big shout out to our troops past and present, our veterans past and present, everyone serving in the military now, and, you know, everyone over in Ukraine. You know, we're praying for you, and, you know, we're hoping that this all, you know, just works itself out. I know it's a shitty thing to say, but I just hope that, you know, it doesn't get any worse than what it already is. I mean, there's already enough people killed over there, so, you know, I had a thing on Facebook that said, make music, not war. So, there we go. I just want to give a shout out to all our active and, you know, retired members out there. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you've done for this country. Everyone over that's fighting now in the war, you know, we love you. We're praying for you and your families, and, you know, hope this all ends soon, please. And that being said, I want to give a big thank you to you guys again for listening, and I will leave you with Mr. Paul Simon. You guys have a good rest of your evening, and I will talk to you later. All right, guys, have a good evening. Bye.